Malik Books. I'm Malik from Malik Books, your community bookstore specializing in African American books and gifts full of cultural diversity. The total African American experience that brings the world together. MalikBooks.com, your place to shop for books. MalikBooks.com. Malik Books is what you
need. I'm Tavis Smiley. This is KBLA Talk 1580. Our phone number 1-800-920-1580. 1-800-920-1580. Glad to have you hanging out with us here on the Tavis Smiley Show today. On Thanksgiving Eve. In this hour, two conversations on the backside of this conversation, the B-side. Wouldn't be Thanksgiving tomorrow without a conversation with an award-winning chef. And so on the backside of this hour, we'll be joined by chef and TV host Jannard Wells to discuss his newest book, Southern Inspired, More Than 100 Delicious Dishes from My American Table to Yours. But we start this hour in conversation with our dear friend and brother, who I'm always delighted to have on this program, honored when he accepts our invitation. We are prepared for a conversation right now with the House Majority Whip, James Clyburn. Come January, Democratic leadership will pass the gavel, as you well know, to Republicans who will now govern the House. Lord help us. Even though Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, and Whip Clyburn all easily won re-election to their House seats, they've all announced that they will step down from their leadership positions, paving the way for a new generation of Democratic leaders. I am honored to have once again on this program my friend and brother James Clyburn. Congressman, how are you, sir?
I'm just fine, and thank you very much for having me.
It's good to have you.
Pleasant day here in South Carolina.
Oh, I'm sure it's a beautiful day in South Carolina. It's good to have you on, and I thank you for taking the time to call from South Carolina, where you could be on break and probably should be on break, but I thank you for just giving us a few minutes, Congressman. Appreciate your time. Let me start with this. You and I go way back, and I'm wondering if you can give me just a little inside scoop. How was this decision made? You, Steny Hoyer, and Speaker Pelosi all decided to step down. Was that decision made in unison? Was it made individually, and just happened that all three of you decided to do the same thing? How was this decision made?
It was not made in unison, though all of us have been around this process long enough to know when the time is to go. Mm-hmm. And I think we all felt that the time was right to go. I never discussed it with Nancy Pelosi back before the election. On one or two occasions, the subject came up. You may recall 4 years ago, there was an effort made to jettison the leadership. And Nancy at that time announced that she would leave at a certain period of time, which was this year.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided to keep that, even though our fortunes had been reversed considerably. 4 years ago, we won back the House. And this time, we defied all expectations. Nobody expected the Democrats to really sustain and even to just continue to defy, I guess is the best word,
mm-hmm.
conventional wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
They were predicting we would get blown out anywhere from 40 to 60 seats.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like six. And that's because we were able to come together as a party, run a campaign focused on people, and but for two states, two reliably blue states, I think we would have maintained the majority.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you read? Everybody has their own take on this, but I'm curious as to your take, Whip Clyburn. How do you read the fact that there wasn't this red wave that they were expecting, that Democrats did not take the shellacking that many people thought they were going to take, as you laid out just a moment ago? How do you read that?
Well, you know, when we won the presidency back in 2020, and we had this insurrection,
mm-hmm.
January 6, 2021, I knew that the country was coming to grips with an issue that had plagued the country for a long, long time, and that is a threat to our democracy. Now, way back when we were trying, we had 20-some-odd people running for president. Some people, everybody had their choices. But at that time, you may recall, I said that I thought that our best choice for winning would be Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason I felt that is because when you have all this acrimony, People look for peace in their lives. They look for calmness. And I knew that Joe Biden could provide that. I knew that he would be a contrast to what we had had. And we needed somebody who understood the system, had enough respect in the Congress to get a big agenda passed. And that's what happened. We passed the Rescue Act, the Infrastructure Bill, the Science and Chips Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, the PAC Act, the Save for Community Act. We had the biggest production that Congress has had and a president since 1965. And so people saw how that was changing their lives. And then they also saw this insurrection and decided they needed somebody to combat that. And Joe Biden's approach, his agenda, were exactly what the doctor ordered for this particular juncture. Mm. How do I know that? Passing through airports. In fact, it was in the Los Angeles airport that I got stopped more often than any place else, with people stopping me saying, stick to the agenda. Mm. You got more friends out here than you would believe. And we demonstrated that on Election Day.
Nice shout out to Los Angeles, where this radio station is flagship, and LAX for that matter, which is crowded like crazy today. Yeah, you'd get stopped a whole lot today, Congressman Clyburn, because that thing is packed out there today. People trying to travel to parts unknown. So I'm glad you're not at LAX today.
I am too.
let me ask you this. You're right about the fact that you guys didn't lose, Democrats didn't lose by 40, 50, 60 seats as some has predicted, but a loss is a loss. It's only like more like six, as you said, but that still means you all have to turn over the gavel. And again, you and Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer have announced you're stepping aside from your Democratic leadership. Let me just ask you in a forthright and direct way, how concerned are you, how scared are you about what is to come now that they will have the gavel?
I'm very concerned. I am not frightened.
Mm-hmm.
If we had lost by 40 or 50 or 60 seats, I would be frightened, because that would be an indication that the intervention that is always necessary to keep our country from going over the edge, it takes place with the voters.
Mm-hmm.
And if voters show up, we can stop that. And that's what happened on November 8th. Voters showed up, and as you would say, they showed out,
mm-hmm.
and we got the result that was necessary to bring this country back from the edge. Now, as I said, the redistricting, court-ordered redistricting in New York caused us to lose four or five seats that we did not bank on losing. Our own chair of DCCC lost his reelection.
Mm-hmm.
There are three or four seats down there in Southern California that we had banked on winning, and we lost. But by the same token, we won some seats that we did not expect to win.
Mm-hmm.
We went from five seats to seven seats in North Carolina. We won seats in Pennsylvania. And we thought that we would not win those seats, but we did. So you see a shift taking place. That's why this transition that we are making, it is so important for it to be orderly and transparent.
Mm.
And that's what we're doing. Hakeem Jeffries is a great choice. He has experience, and he has managed our caucus for the last 4 years. Our members know him. He knows them. And I think it's going to be great. Kathleen Clark will be our minority whip. And Pete Aguilar from California will be third in line. So we have a good team, and I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure this team succeeds.
Hmm. When we come forward in our conversation with Congressman Jim Clyburn, the House Majority Whip, the outgoing House Majority Whip, a few other things I want to cover with him between now and the bottom of this hour. He's graciously given us 30 minutes, and so we'll take him to the bottom of the hour. But there's a lot to talk about. You just heard him mention a moment ago the name Hakeem Jeffries. That's historic. A black man who will have this position leading Democrats in the House. We'll talk about Hakeem Jeffries and his view of him and what this means historically. Speaking of history, I want to get Jim Clyburn, if I can, to look back on his role. I mean, he's made history himself. given his time and service in the House. And I want to just kind of get him to unpack what he thinks that he's been able to accomplish as a black man from South Carolina in the House. And, of course, there's a great deal more to talk about regarding the politics that are to come. Many of us are afraid. He's not afraid. But I'm concerned about all these investigations and efforts to impeach the president. It's going to get ugly here. He's not afraid, but I don't think he would deny it's about to get ugly. And I want to get his take on that and a great deal more when we come forward in conversation with the House Majority Whip, that is, James Clyburn out of South Carolina. You're listening to him right now on KBLA Talk.
Where hate loses and love wins.
Another 12 minutes here in conversation with our friend and brother, Congressman Jim Clyburn, of course, the Majority Whip, longstanding, out of the great state of South Carolina. Let me ask you, Congressman, first of all, had the Democrats been able to hold on to the House, were you still determined to step aside? Had you won, would you still be holding on to this position?
I would have stepped aside, absolutely. Okay. I would be doing it a little bit differently than the way I am doing it, because if you're in the majority, you can set the agenda, and you can really respond to your constituents almost immediately. When you're in the minority, it's a different set of circumstances, and therefore you have to really respond to things. You have to keep your constituents moored to you and get them in a frame of mind to understand that you're not setting the agenda, and a lot of what they want to see pass the House will not get passed in the House, but would have to get dealt with in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have stepped aside. I think Nancy would have also, as well as Spinnet.
Mm-hmm.
We would have done it a little bit differently than the way we were forced to do it, having lost the House.
Speaking of setting the agenda, you said earlier you're not afraid, you're not scared, you are concerned. What do you expect that's about to happen now that they get to set the agenda? I mean, everywhere you look and read, we're being told there are going to be all kinds of investigations. They're going to be a move to impeach President Biden, the guy who you mentioned earlier that you thought was the best person to lead the country. They're going to come after him. So talk to me about them setting the agenda and what concerns you.
Well, what concerns me is the acrimony that will be taking place. I do believe that the American people will reject that approach. I think that that's what they demonstrated before. Go back and look at history. And I, as you know, I'm a big history guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I think history there to inform us. And I would remind people, and I hope that Kevin McCarthy will be reminded, that there was a guy named Newt Gingrich who came in back in 1994 with the same kind of foolishness. And next thing you knew, he was being driven out of town by his own people. And that's going to happen here. If they do not undertake what is necessary to do what the American people want done for them, for their lives, for their families, for their communities, and go out here talking about impeaching the president, that's not going to put a loaf of bread on anybody's table. That's not going to do a single thing. And then for what? They are now talking about impeaching the Secretary of Homeland Security. For what? Because they say he has failed at the border. Who has not failed at the border? Where is that wall that Trump said he was going to build along the water, the border? He never built it. Everybody has had some degree of failure at the border. But is it impeachable? An impeachment is an indictment. You get indicted for having done something wrong, not for having a policy that may or may not have failed. So what has the Secretary of Homeland Security done that's impeachable? What has Joe Biden done that is impeachable? What did Donald Trump do that's impeachable? Just pick up the newspapers. Mm. Look at the evening news, and you'll know that he is full of criminality and is coming home to the American people as we speak.
Since you went there, I'm going to follow you, Congressman Clyburn. What do you make of the fact that Donald Trump obviously has announced he's running for the White House again?
That announcement was just an attempt to stave off an indictment. That's what that was. And I'm so glad that the Supreme Court finally decided not to be partial, but to follow the law. It is now saying he's got to turn over 6 years of his tax records. And I think the American people are going to find out more about Donald Trump than they care to know when these tax records get into the hands of the House Ways and Means Committee. Now, I know everybody's saying, well, you're going to be out of office in a few months. Well, if you look at the law, the Senate Finance Committee, Ron Ryan, has an interest in this. He can get these tax records as well. And so I think that the American people are going to see exactly what it is that makes Donald Trump the danger to our democracy that he is.
Do you think between now and the race in 2024, the election that is, he's going to get tripped up by a number of indictments?
Oh, yeah. There's no question in my mind. And the biggest indictment for any public servant to get is public opinion. And I think that the January 6th committee, thanks to Bennett Thompson's stewardship of that committee, they have revealed a lot of things to the American people. And I think that they responded to the January 6th committee when we voted on November the 8th. That committee revealed a lot of things that people did not know. And I think there's much more to be found out. And I think you will get more from that committee when it issues its final report. And I think you're also going to get much, much more when they look at his taxes. And then there's some other things going down there in Georgia that I think is coming forth by an African-American woman down there who is not playing any games. She's going to get to the bottom of why, what they were doing when they tried to steal the elections down there in Georgia.
Of course, you're talking about Fannie Willis, the Fulton County DA in Atlanta, Georgia, who's pursuing this case rather doggedly. And so I take your point. Got about 5 minutes left watching my time with you, Congressman. In 2007, as you well know, your friend Nancy Pelosi, who you discussed earlier, made history when she became the first woman to be the Speaker of the House and to lead her party. Hakeem Jeffries appears poised to be, as you mentioned earlier, the brother out of New York will apparently take over the party and be the minority leader, at least for the time being. Say a word to me about Hakeem Jeffries and how historic this moment is that you have the gavel of leadership on the Democratic side being passed from the first woman to the first African-American, the first person of color to lead his party in either chamber of Congress.
It is very historic and I think very relevant to where we are today. Hakeem Jeffries is very astute, is a very astute politician. He's very smart. He's very highly intelligent. He has experience at the state and local levels, and he's chaired our full Democratic caucus for the last 4 years. Our caucus members know him. He knows them. And I do believe that he is going to be a very effective, and I hope a successful, Speaker of the House. He may be the minority leader for the next 2 years, but I expect for him to be the first African-American Speaker of the House come 2025.
You mentioned earlier that you are a student of history, and I know that about you well, and your other friends and followers know that about you as well. You are a major student of history. So let me close with a couple of questions in these last few minutes about history. Let me start with this. Let me just ask both of them, and I'll get out of your way and give you the last few minutes. The first question I want to ask is what you make of the journey that you've been blessed to be on all these years and all the history that you have made yourself as a black man out of South Carolina, of all places, becoming a leader in the House of Representatives now that you're stepping aside from your leadership position, and clearly you ain't going nowhere. But tell me a bit about what you make of your journey from South Carolina to leadership in the House and how finally you intend to navigate and proceed as an elder statesman in the House, Congressman.
Well, thank you very much for that. You know, growing up here in South Carolina, I've grown up with the legacy of Robert Smalls all of my life. And I'm so proud to be representing counties and communities in South Carolina that were once represented in the United States Congress by Robert Smalls, who was a former slave. Mm. Robert Smalls, I call the most consequential South Carolinian to ever live. I know people will talk about some others all the way down through Strom Thurmond, but nobody was as consequential to history as Robert Smalls. And I have been patterning my whole service after him all of these years. He was the guy that introduced a resolution that provided for the first free public schools in this country, right here in South Carolina. So I live by that. I stand on his shoulders, and many since him. George Washington Murray was the eighth African-American to represent South Carolina in the United States Congress. And the only problem is there were 95 years between number eight and yours truly, number nine. Mm. And I have tried to serve in such a way that that will not ever be again, that there will never be another hiatus of 95 years for an African-American to represent South Carolina in the Congress. I'm very proud of my accomplishments, and I hope that before I leave the scene in the not-too-distant future, I will prove myself worthy of the confidence of the South Carolinians that have sent me to Washington for now 30 years.
And that is how you serve as an elder statesman, not just a garden variety politician. There is no President Joe Biden, as we all know. If there is no Congressman Jim Clyburn out of South Carolina, it just wouldn't happen without James Clyburn, and history will record that, has already recorded that. There is no debate about that. There just is no President Joe Biden. There is no Congressman James Clyburn out of South Carolina. Congressman, thanks for serving in that whip position as honorably as you did for all these years. I know that they'll be blessed to still have your counsel around for the foreseeable future, at least, to help them as these new Democrats provide leadership in the House. But thank you for your service, and most importantly, thank you for your time on this program today. I appreciate you, sir.
Thank you very much for having me, buddy.
Take care, my friend. That's a conversation with James Clyburn, and we still got a half hour to go. So as I said earlier, it's not Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Eve, as it were, specifically, if you don't have a conversation with an award-winning chef. And so we'll be joined by our great chef when we come forward after news, traffic, and sports. His name is Jannard Wells, and he has a new book out called Southern Inspired. Speaking of the South, just talking to Jim Clyburn in South Carolina. The book is called Southern Inspired, More Than 100 Delicious Dishes from My American Table to Yours. Jannard Wells, Chef Jannard Wells, when we come forward in our final hour, our final half hour on KBLA Talk 15.
Malik Books. I'm Malik from Malik Books, your community bookstore specializing in African-American books and gifts full of cultural diversity. The total African-American experience that brings the world together. MalikBooks.com, your place to shop for books. MalikBooks.com.
Malik Books is what you